This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Here's to the farmer that plants the fields in the spring, the turn from green to that harvest honey. Pull one up for the banker downtown that got him on his feet with handshake of money. Here's to the farmer's wife that loves him every night, raising a son, raising a daughter. They gather around the table, send it up to the father. Somehow they get closer when times get harder. Here's to the farmer.
Yes, here's to the farmer, although this may sound like American Idol, because Luke Bryan, who does our song for the American Family Farmer, is also one of the judges on the revised, reworked American Idol. That's not why we're here in this hour, however. We're here to talk about farming, agriculture, the world of the American Family Farmer, and the businesses that his families and friends operate, the locavores who use our products. How do we solve problems? How do we work over things? We've had some pretty good luck in the last because this program, I think, is in a third year, and we're up to a couple of hundred radio stations, and then there's a podcast that you can get every week at AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com with the important ingredients of our conversations. And so there are lots of ways for you to learn, and that's the idea here, to bring people who are on the farm and people who want to support American agriculture at its finest. That's what we are. That's our mission here. And every week we bring people on. For example, this week, Martha Bonetta, who is a person that comes to us from America First, a policy center. And we'll talk about what she's bringing to the world of agriculture. She has vast experience and a good story. I wanted to, speaking of a good story, spend a moment or two talking with you about the people who are working on the farms, the people who own American farms. There is a statistical, I'm not much, I don't want to make this sound like we're a classroom, but I think every once in a while there are stats that come out that are pretty interesting and how they work to put our brains into a certain perspective. Who's doing what? And how much do we have, for example, minority operators of farms? A lot of times we think of minorities as working on the farm, but we don't think of them as owning the farm. But the census figures suggest that there are a lot of black farmers who own a good deal. I think we had, matter of fact, Carrie, a year or so ago, the fellow who ran the American Black Farmers Association. And I thought to myself at the time, very interesting, but then I thought it was sad that there was a necessity for there to be a black farmers co-op or a black farmers project. It sort of bothers me a little bit, but they're still under the circumstances. The demographics are the demographics, and who owns farms and who's working on farms is an interesting overview. And how much money people are being paid, and or more importantly, I suppose, where the money's coming from. So I'm going to spend a minute or two talking about the minorities, and these are all minorities that own their own farms and how much they make. All right. So in terms of Hispanic farmers, there are about 68,000 Hispanic farmers that own their land in America. I'm quite surprised with that. And in that group, the average income is about $10,000 a year. That's pretty eye-opening, too, isn't it, don't you think? American Indians, in that same category, the American Indians they own more land. Their average take-in, according to the information from the Department of Agriculture, is from $10,000 to $49,000 a year. American Indians, there are 14,000 American Indians that own their own plot of land. Now, when I say farm, I'm talking about any size farm. It could be 2 acres, it could be 30 acres, it could be 100 acres, but there, and I don't know that the, well, I guess maybe it is an interesting stat to pick apart. That is how much land each of these groups own on average themselves. And for the American Indian, I think it's 14 acres. Let's see here. In terms of black farmers, there are about 78,000 of them in America, and they're making, on average, at least last year, $50,000 to $60,000 on their farm annualized. The Asian population, there are 7,500 Asians in our country who own their own farm, and they're the ones who are making the most money in terms of the non-white population working on the farm, growing things on the farm, owning farms. I thought that was also pretty interesting. Asians tend to be, how do I put this tactfully, they're better students. Whatever work they're doing normally, if they haven't been Americanized and haven't become lazy, then they're really working hard in the field. They understand the business side of it. And so without a lot of land, they're making quite a bit of money on average. Again, these are demos and stats that come from it's a study that was done by the Department of Agriculture called Share of Farms by Sales Class for Minority Operators. And the Asian farmers are on the top of the heap, and the Hispanic farmers are on the bottom of the heap in terms of how much money they make. But there are, let's see, about what, almost there are eight times as many Hispanics farming and owning farms as there are Asians. But I thought that, again, we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people working, even though it's only 2% of, according to the Census of Agriculture, 2% of the population earns its money from the farm. 12 southern states have 90% of the black farms. Let's see here. 76% of the Latin-owned farms are in six states, the obvious ones, Texas, California, New Mexico, Florida, Colorado, and Washington. 80% of the Native American farms are in Arizona, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Texas, Montana, California, and South Dakota. And 64% of the Asian farms are in California, Hawaii, Florida, and Texas. So, again, sort of an interesting overview. Those of you who are, I think that's a good comparative. And one of the starkest thing for me is to see how little most of these people make and how hard they work. That's the frustration that all of us have who are farmers in America, I think anyway. 14 after the hour, in a moment, we meet Martha Bonetta here on the American Family Farmer.
Want to refresh your wardrobe and home? Get to Kohl's Friends and Family Sale and take an extra 20% off with promo code FRIEND. With an extra 20% off, LC Lauren Conrad floral tops are just $23.99. Jumping Beans tees are only $6.40. And a KitchenAid Artisan Stand Mixer is $299.99. And you'll get $60 Kohl's Cash. A spring refresh for the family, Kohl's Cash for you, right now at Kohl's. Select styles. Offer valid March 14th through 18th. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Hi, welcome to the Pier 1 Spring Dining and Easter Sale.
Oh, thank you.
There's some amazing deals here on Easter decor. Beautiful spring dinnerware, mm-hmm. Table settings. Now, if you have any questions, please ask someone who works here.
I'm just shopping.
Oh. Table runners, come with me.
A lot of people are getting caught up in the Pier 1 Spring Dining and Easter Sale. Right now, get up to 30% off dinnerware, drinkware, dining tables and chairs, and Easter decor. Give your home that unique look you want for spring and save up to 30% now at Pier 1 Imports through March 31st.
Martha Bonetta joins us now. I'm Doug Steffen on the American Family Farmer, about 15 past the hour. Our focus is on her as a full-time farmer, or her focus is on being a full-time farmer. She comes from a family farm. It's called Liberty Farm in Paris, Virginia. And she, on this farm, cares for 280 farm animals. Her organic heirloom vegetable crops, she's got an apiary and a lot of herbs being grown there, and chickens and ducks and turkeys and emu eggs. So that's, I see things like that, and I wonder what the market is. Martha, first of all, thanks for joining us. Happy to have you here on the American Family Farmer. How big is the interest in eggs from emus?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. So
Liberty Farm is located about 55 minutes away from the nation's capital, and there are many gourmet restaurants, bed and breakfasts, that many different opportunities to sell locally produced foods. There's a big desire, a huge push for restaurants to indicate on their menus that they're serving food from locally produced from local farms. And so as a result, it's not as though folks come to the farm and say, I want a dozen emu eggs, because I'll tell your viewers this, that, or your listeners that may not know this, but you know, an emu egg is smaller than an ostrich egg and is equal to about 10 to 12 chicken eggs, whereas an ostrich egg is equal to about 20-ish chicken eggs. So most of the time, nobody's coming and asking for a dozen emu eggs. It's more of a specialty novelty item, and there is a market for it because they are so unusual. So, for example, a lot of gourmet restaurants or bed and breakfasts will use emu eggs for, breakfast, or more likely they'll make emu egg pasta or frittatas or omelets. So in that sense, there is a need because they're unusual. That's what drives the need. But having said that, folks want their farm fresh local chicken eggs more than any other kind of egg variety that we carry. And we do carry duck eggs, turkey eggs, guinea hen eggs, as well as emu eggs.
So when people listen to this program, they are always interested. I hear from people oftentimes after someone comes on with an unusual solution to problems, because we're here to try to encourage people to go into farming, young people, sure, middle-aged people, older people stay on the farm, that kind of stuff, and to have the farms become successful, because a lot of the conventional things that, for example, I grew up on a dairy farm and I have Jersey cows, but could I make a living if I had to milking Jersey cows in Massachusetts? Absolutely not. I go out, I've lost my you-know-what doing
sure.
that. It happens. The reasons for it are plentiful, mostly government, big farm, big ag, that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
So, you know, there is this curiosity that people have and wondering whether, if they have a wild idea, whether they actually make something out of it. So you've had, I don't want to classify this in a negative way, but you've had some wild, unusual, good, stimulating ideas, and you've tried a lot of things. How is your marketing? Is it the marketing that makes it successful? The fact that you do a good job raising them, obviously, because you can only sell one bad egg to somebody once and they won't come back. So you got that, but you also have to tell people that you're there. How do you do that?
Well, you know, let me speak to a couple of things, and that is that working on a family farm, running a family farm, is the hardest I have ever worked in my life. It requires, a lot of people think, well, I have a tractor, I found a beautiful piece of land, I'm going to start farming. And that's wonderful, and I encourage people to pursue their dream of farming. So running a family farm was my childhood dream. And I encountered miles and miles of red tape and overregulation that ultimately shut us down. And we had to spend years and years fighting back against overregulation that shut our farm down. And so in that regard, I know firsthand what it's like to face these obstacles. But having said that, I think we're going on a break here in about a minute. I can speak to how it requires a strong understanding of running a business, knowing the market, and understanding what it takes to have a successful family farm. And in our case, we are in close proximity to Washington, D.C. We're on a winery trail. We're surrounded by farms, so we're relying upon the city people to come to our farm.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
and
a good
I
thing.
I can speak more. Yeah.
I want you to do that. Hold on just a second. Yeah. Martha Bonetta is here. She's a policy advisor for America First Policies and a family farmer. Good combination. 21 minutes after the hour here on the American Family Farmer Program.
Tired of being censored by Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Patreon? Well, now you don't have to be. OneWay.com is the free speech and human-friendly social network built just for you. Stop feeding the beast. Every post you make on those evil, anti-human, anti-American perverted sites helps them destroy our families, our country, and our souls. Join OneWay today and take back your liberty. Your free speech alternative is waiting for you at OneWay.com. OneWay.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Remembering when to change your fridge filter is a hassle. Remembering the right filter is almost impossible. So at Filters Fast, we have some good advice. Forget it. Instead, remember this. Text BEST 33 to 443-443 and check fridge filters off your to-do list forever. Get it all taken care of for a fraction of big box store prices with a Filters Fast brand filter. To see how much you can save, plus get free shipping, text BEST 33 to 443-443. With a huge range of brand name filters available, Filters Fast is America's number one online filtration company. And you can get a Filters Fast brand filter for a fraction of the price, delivered to your door every time you need it. No need to remember. It's not a matter of if you need a fridge filter. Why not text to get it taken care of? To see how much you can save and get free shipping, text BEST 33 to 443-443. That's BEST 33 to 443-443.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Welcome to the farm.
Always a pleasure to be here on the American Family Farmer. Every week we get together with great stories and encouragement for those of you who want to have the lifestyle you're used to continue. That certainly is what I want for the rest of my life. I want to be on the farm. 23 and change past the hour, we are pleased to have Martha Bonetta with us, who was voted by Country Women magazine as one of the 45 most amazing women in America because of her role in changing the law to advance property rights and economic liberties on family farms. We're going to talk about the bills that were named after her in the Virginia Assembly, but I want to go back to what we were talking about today. Basically, we're underscoring what farming today requires, and I think that's where we need to pick up, if I'm not mistaken, Martha. Yes?
That's absolutely correct. And it's unfortunate in many ways because the family farmer truly is the backbone and the heartbeat of America. And today's family farmers in Virginia, the average farmer is in their late 60s. And oftentimes there's concern over who is going to, you know, if the next generation is going to inherit the farm and actually continue to farm the land. Mm-hmm. And instead of having the legacy of the family farm in many cases, not in every case, but in many cases carried on, the next generation finds that it is exceedingly difficult, overregulated, overtaxed, and very difficult to be competitive against big ag. And so those are, you know, and it sounds like doom and gloom, right? It sounds like I'm saying I'm discouraging. That's not the case at all. Instead, I think it's really more a situation where we need to do everything we can to lift up our family farmers. And we were speaking a little bit about my farm. My farm is located within a close proximity to Washington, D.C., and I'm on a winery trail. And there's a lot of opportunity to market foods produced on small family farms to the city dwellers that come out to the country. They visit the wineries. They want their locally produced farm fresh eggs, their vegetables, their dairy, and they want to experience life on the family farm, on the American family farm, because they don't have that. They want their children to see what it's like to be on a farm. And so there is opportunity for that quite a bit. So we do both on-site sales where individuals come directly to the farm. We allow some opportunity for pick your own depending on what it is. Like, for example, our pumpkin patch, we will allow folks to pick their own pumpkins, that kind of thing. We also will harvest ourselves and bag produce for individuals to come and buy that way as well. We also do farmers markets, and we also sell to local restaurants, bed and breakfast, anyone that wants to promote or have available, you know, locally produced foods.
So you are not a farm kid, though. You grew up in an area with a farm, but you didn't grow up on the farm. So what attracted you? Why is Martha Bonetta a farmer?
You know, I grew up in Mount Vernon, Virginia. I'm the youngest of three girls. And my grandmother lived with us after my grandfather died. And she would produce vegetables in our backyard, you know, the ultimate kitchen gardens in the backyard. And we produced so many vegetables that we had enough not only for our family to sustain our family, but enough for our neighbors. And I fell in love with this idea as a young child of producing our own food and the miracle of producing our own food. Mm-hmm. And I wanted very much to, that was my childhood dream. I wanted to grow up. I wanted to have my own farm where I could work hard and produce food on our farm that I could have enough for my own family one day and also sell. I wanted to be in production agriculture, and I never dreamed that, you know, I would grow up one day, work hard, sacrifice so much to have the family farm, and then face all of this overregulation.
All right, so we're going to talk about
that's
that.
That's what inspired me.
Martha Bonetta has had a battle with government over her farm, and we're going to discuss that next and how all the pieces fit together of that story. 28 after the hour on the American Family Farmer.
Shaquille O'Neal here. If you battle back or hip pain or knee or shoulder pain, you don't have to tough it out. You can just turn it off with Smart Relief from Icy Hot. You just push a button and whoosh. Smart Relief sends waves of relaxing pulses that safely block pain at the nerve level. It's simple, easy to use, and it's been clinically tested to start providing immediate relief for hours, even after you turn it off. So if you're battling pain, let Icy Hot help you win that battle. Turn on Smart Relief and turn off pain.
Use only as directed.
Here's your healthcare update with America's healthcare advocate, Kerry Hall.
Will Obamacare reduce benefits to seniors for health insurance? I'll be right back to give you that answer and more. Now that Obamacare, the Patient Protection Affordable Health Care Act, is law, seniors can expect to see $500 billion, I didn't say million, I said billion, $500 billion to be cut from Medicare Advantage plans. That's right, those Humana plans, those Coventry Advantra plans, those Pacific plans that you all like so much that are zero premium or small premium plans are scheduled to see $500 billion in cuts as a result of the passage and implementation of PPACA. That's what senior citizens have to look forward to as part of the passage of Obamacare. If what I just said scares you or bothers you and you're chronologically challenged like I am, you can go to our website, americashealthcareadvocate.com. There's lots more information there. Once again, americashealthcareadvocate.com. That website, americashealthcareadvocate.com.
United States Navy veteran Jack Holder talks about the attack on Pearl Harbor and what was going through his mind as he laid in a ditch avoiding Japanese aircraft.
I'm not sure how long we were in the ditch, but as I sat there, I've been asked, you know, what my thoughts were at that time, and I guess my most vivid memory is, God, please don't let me die in this ditch.
The American Veterans Center protects the legacy and honors the sacrifice.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation.
rehabilitation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Hello, my name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of the Grow Network, which is an online community of people who produce their own food and medicine. We are really into backyard self-reliance. If you want this lifestyle, I suggest your first step be to learn some basic home medicine. Just the other day, my 18-year-old son came to me and said, "Mama, I got a sore throat. Can you fix me up?" And I said, "Sure, Ryan," and in about 24 hours, he was better. The best home medicine for you to start out with is garlic. It's an amazing natural antibiotic, and I can show you how to use garlic to handle ear infections, sore throats, colds, and flus. As a way for you to get to know a little bit more about me and the Grow Network, I've written up an easy introduction on how to use garlic. It's at gcnwellness.com. Now, the station manager told me that I needed to say the URL at least twice, even though it feels kind of weird. But if you're interested in backyard self-reliance, you are one of us. Go to www.gcnwellness.com and let's connect up.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
It's harvest time in this little town. Time to bring it on in. Pay the loans down, fill our diesel tank.
34 at the hour now. Here we are experiencing another conversation about how to make things work on the American Family Farms that exist, the American Family Farmer Show. I'm Doug Steffen, the podcast available every week at AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com. Educate yourself as to what people are doing with their agricultural career. Martha Bonetta is here with us. She works on her own farm, has her own farm. She also is an advisor for American First Policies. She has two bills named after her in the Virginia General Assembly. That's where her farm is. How much land do you have, by the way, Martha, and how did you come by it? Is it family land? You were talking
not
with your grandparents
all.
Before.
Yeah, not at all. I purchased the farm in 2006. It's 64 acres. And it is located in a unique location, which I think is important if you're going to engage in agritourism or on-site sales, because
yes.
You want the property to be, as convenient for the general public to get to. And, you know, after I'm done talking about the legislation and sort of my own personal struggles, I can speak to how the new administration that we have now has done things specifically to help America's family farmers and how it's being implemented now.
All right, that's a great thing. Let's talk about the struggles you've had and where these two bills came from and how it is that you are the leader of the band here.
Sure. Well, you know, one would be surprised to learn that in the Commonwealth of Virginia, where agriculture is our number one industry, it produces over 500,000 jobs, billions into our economy, that I would have faced this struggle, but indeed we did, that really sucked the life out of the American dream for us, fighting for our family farm. But we were shut down because we were engaging in agritourism and inviting the public to our farm. And by agritourism, I mean things as American as apple pie, as pumpkin carvings, hay rides, pick your own pumpkins. We had children's birthday parties where children could come and experience the wonder and joy of holding a newborn baby lamb, that kind of thing.
Does Virginia not have a right to farm bylaw, yes, and act?
Absolutely, it does. And in fact, most states, as you know, in our great nation, do have a right to farm codified into law across our country. But because of the way the law was written, it was so vague that it allowed for localities to interpret them as they wished. So, for example, you could be in, say, Yorktown, Virginia, and be able to engage, and this is just hypothetical, in agritourism and everything I just mentioned without any problem. Or in my locality, I received a cease and desist.
Cease and desist,
for operating, for operating my farm, and it carries criminal ramifications. We were threatened with $5,000 a day for three things that we were deemed to have been doing wrong. $15,000 a day, and I don't know many Americans, many farmers, regardless of your profession, that could stay keep your doors open for long when you're being threatened with $15,000 a day in fines. And what were we found in violation for? We were found in violation really for farming, and I'll explain that. But it was the locality was requiring a site plan, special exception permit, administrative permit, full-blown hearings for us to engage in our farming operation that would have cost us hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so it was devastating. I mean, this was the American dream. I grew up in a family where my mom and dad taught us, if you work hard and you're willing to sacrifice and dedicate yourself, you can be anything you want in America. And I never dreamed that we would be so heartbroken to discover that here we were being shut down. And
it just
so,
speaks to, if I may, the stupidity of and the arrogance of people who have a little bit of power and they want to abuse people like you. I would have thought the neighbors, the people in your community would have gone wild with this.
Well, here's the problem, though. We have individuals trying to regulate an agrarian way of life that do not have an agrarian background.
Right. They don't know anything about it. Yeah.
Yeah. They have this inflated image of green acres. So they come out to the country and they then want to start, they get elected into office and then they want to start regulating an agrarian farming way of life that they have no concept of. And because of our close proximity to Washington DC, while I am in a farming agricultural district and a right to farm state on agricultural farmland, zoned rural agricultural, a lot of the neighbors are not farmers. They don't understand the agrarian way of life. They've retired from their city jobs, oftentimes government jobs. Yeah. They come out to the country and then they start, you know, trying to regulate because they don't want people coming to the land. They don't want the community. They want the bucolic appearance of what the view shed.
I have been through the same thing. I live in Framingham, Massachusetts. It is not an agriculture. It was originally called Danforth Farms. It was the original farm. The first farm in Massachusetts was located here. Now there are two farms left, mine and a produce guy. And the stupidity of the regulators, the lack of knowledge, insight, whatever it is, it's something that we come upon all the time in circumstances like this. And it's the same thing. I remember once, 15, 20 years ago, I was spreading manure on a Sunday afternoon, and the police came. And the policeman I happen to know, his name was Billy Carey. And Billy said to me, we've gotten complaints from the neighbors. They don't like the smell of the manure on Sunday. And I looked at him and I said, "Just so what do you want me to do?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "Well, the only way I'm going to stop doing this is for you to come up here, get me off my tractor, arrest me, and bring me to the station." And he looked at me and he laughed. But that's the kind of stupid that people come out today. It's what the value of the homes in my neighborhood around the farm are $200,000-$300,000 more than what they would be any other place in town because they are next to or across the street from the farm.
Correct.
So
that's absolutely correct. And I know, unfortunately, I know that all too well. I know what it's like to have the sheriff's department pull up to our farm with the deputies. We do all kinds of community outreach. We have college students that come from all over the world to help us with our harvest, to help us learn. They want to learn where their food comes from. They actually want to work on a farm. And a lot of it is university-driven. A lot of the universities are pushing for students to put in what they call community service before they graduate. And so, you know, many of them say, I want to experience a farm. I grew up in a city. I don't know where my food comes from. Maybe I want to pursue a career in agriculture. So they come and they work on the family farm. And it's a beautiful, beautiful relationship. Well, instead of embracing that and encouraging it, because it helps us too. It gives us labor and hands on the farm that we otherwise wouldn't have.
Yeah.
And it's a learning experience for them, but it also helps us as small producers that need the help. And so the neighbors complained, and the sheriff's department, together with zoning, pulled up with their sheriff's department, lined the students up on the side of the road, collected their names, their phone numbers, wanted to know what they were doing there. I mean, this is the United States of America, and property rights still matter.
Yeah.
And to have this happen was absolutely degrading and horrific for these great young Americans that just wanted to know what it was like to work on a farm. That's all they wanted to do. And instead of, you know, it being embraced, they were treated like criminals.
Yeah.
And this kind of thing shouldn't happen in America. And if you're a farmer and you're farming, you shouldn't have to. It's hard enough. You know, there are so many things, as you know, out of our control. You know, Mother Nature, weather. I can go down the whole litany of things that can happen. And I especially if you're in, you know, vegetable production, you know, like we are, then on top of that, you have to battle your locality, your government, and special interest groups. That radicalized environmentalists, for example, that are creating obstacles for the family farmer to thrive and strive and be successful. And so this battle went on for many years, and I'm still in it, and you probably will still be in it for many years to come because of the absurdity of many in power that want the bucolic countryside.
Yeah,
but
they want it one. Yeah, they want it. Yeah, they want it their way. So let's pause for a moment here. I want to know specifically about these bills that are named for you, as we'll have three or four more minutes to talk about your experience and give people some more inspiration. There are a lot of volunteers, as Martha's talking about, going to her farm, and that's one thing that you ought to look for on your farm. People that want to volunteer. Heck, we have people around here who pay money. There's a B&B on one of the farms in a nearby town, and they charge them $200 a weekend per person. They fix them their meals, and the rest of the weekend they spend working on the farm, learning about the farm. That's something else you might want to be thinking about. 43 past the hour here on the American Family Farmer. I have in front of me the way for you, all of you who are on the farm, to find the help that you're looking for. Good, solid Americans looking for good, solid work. And you can connect with them on ZipRecruiter.com. Yep, it's no different. Farming, the business of farming, is no different than any other business. A small business, maybe you've got a larger farm. But I know this time of year you're looking for good employees to work through the season, especially if you're in the area where I am, where a lot of people just head for the hills when the weather gets bad. And they may come back to this area, they may go some other place, but if you're serious about finding good people to work on your farm, maybe full-time, maybe part-time, go to ZipRecruiter.com/DJV. Use ZipRecruiter free. There are people who have posted their resume who are looking to be matched with you and your farm. ZipRecruiter is so much different, it's better than any of the other hiring sites because it'll put your needs that you describe in the job application to, it'll match them up to the people who are looking for work. Look no further than ZipRecruiter.com. 80% of employers, farmers who are looking for good help, go to the smartest way to hire, and that's ZipRecruiter.com. Use ZipRecruiter.com/DJV to have it free the first time so you see just how well it works. That's ZipRecruiter.com/DJV.
It's sometimes referred to as the martini effect. It has nothing to do with drinking. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you what it is and how divers avoid it next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
The martini effect is a slang term to refer to nitrogen narcosis, the physical and mental impairment experienced by scuba divers on deeper dives. Most divers don't feel the effects at 30 or even 60 feet. Everyone is different, much as some people get drunk more easily than others. But with increasing depth, you are much more likely to feel it. At 100 feet and deeper, you will definitely be affected, even if you're not aware of it. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge.
Can't predict the future, but I'm going to put my money on Martha Bonetta when it comes to winning this battle that she has. Martha also sits on the Congressional Property Rights Caucus Roundtable. Property rights are on the top list for her and others who are, as she's described, doing the right thing on the farm to bring people there, educate people. But there's so much, really, I can't use another word other than stupidity. So we have the Bonetta Bill 1 and the Bonetta Bill 2. What are these about, Martha?
I'm going to speak quickly about those so I can really speak to, federal legislation that our new administration campaigned on, promised, and delivered. So the Bonetta Bill 1, it says that if you're farming, you're farming, and you shouldn't have to pay a fee to the government to be able to farm on your land. You shouldn't have to get permission from the government to farm on your land. And this has opened up really unlimited opportunity to the family farmer all across the Commonwealth of Virginia, because until that time, there were many family farmers that were just trying to fulfill the dream and were being threatened or shut down because of a ridiculous over regulation. The second bill, and this is something I caution against, and that's this mechanism called the conservation easement. I don't know if you've had a show on this. And I know we don't have enough time now, but I would love to come on your show and really warn your listeners about
I'll underscore it. Easement. I would never put a conservation easement on my farm. You want to put an agricultural preservation restriction on it? Uh-huh. Yes. Conservation restrictions? No.
Tell us why. It is a death sentence.
Oh yeah.
To the family farmer, it's a death sentence to property rights. Family farmers will find that everything they've worked for their entire lives will be like grains of sand vanishing through their fingertips. And it is unfortunate that they exist. And if it were up to me, based on my personal experience where I was threatened and harassed by a land trust that colluded and conspired with realtors and the local county government, I mean, they did demand inspections, demanded to inspect my closets, photograph my personal private possessions. I mean, it was like the Gestapo. Well, to make a long story short, the second bill was to allow for at least a forum in Virginia, where when innocent farmers were being harassed and terrorized by these so-called land trusts, they would have a forum, somewhere to go to be heard, without losing the family farm battling with legal fees that they would have to pay to protect themselves.
Yeah. There's an organization in Massachusetts called the Trustees of Reservations, and they're exactly what you're about. Every state has at least one of them. They cloak themselves around the do-goodness of saving land, and they screw the owners right, left, sideways, upside down, inside out. Yeah.
I would love for us to do a show just on that, because too many innocent family farmers are seduced into getting these lands with these conservation easements, and then it's the worst thing that ever happened to them and their families. And so,
we'll invite you back, Martha. Thank you. Martha Bonetta here on the American Family Farmer.
My number two does not look like a number two. I don't know what to call it. Is there a number three?
Table for four, please. Anything close to the restroom.
A middle seat with these stomach problems? That's my fear of flying.
Sound like you?
If it does, you could be one of the many people with a digestive condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. Even if you don't know what EPI is, you might know the symptoms. Frequent diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain. If you have even just one of these symptoms, you could still have EPI, because not everybody experiences EPI the same way, which is why it's so important to open up to your doctor about all your symptoms. And the good news is, EPI is manageable, so don't keep a lid on it. Go to identifyepi.com, complete the symptom checker, and use it to have a conversation with your doctor. Don't keep a lid on it. Visit identifyepi.com. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Here's to the farmer that plants the fields in the spring, that turn from green to that harvest honey. Pull one up for the banker downtown that got him on his feet with handshake of money.
The farmer. Now we have 53 after the hour. A lot of very interesting stories, aren't there, around America? You wouldn't have thought when I started doing this program, I wasn't quite sure where we were going to go with it, but I knew, I felt in my heart and my mind that I had to tell these stories or get the stories told about what's going on the American family farmer. The sort of experiences that that lady has had on her farm are so typical of what's going on around the country. And it's typical not only of farms, but of small businesses in general, getting beaten up. But I see it in the radio business. I see it on every scale. No matter what you're doing, the big companies and big government are out there to squash you. And there are people like me and Martha and others, many of you, who don't want to roll over and play dead. So we don't. Doesn't always win us a friendship award, but one of the ladies in a hearing that we had in my hometown of Framingham a couple of weeks ago, when the issue came up of some things that I'm trying to get done on my farm, they were trying to take me out of the discussion because there are other open spaces that applied to what we were trying to do. And one of my friends got up and said, let's not have the discussion about Mr. Steffen. I understand he's ruffled some feathers, but that's not the point. That's not the issue. And I guess because I stand up for myself and stand up strongly for myself, defend what I'm trying to do in the face of the same kind of stuff this woman's putting up with, I ask myself, why am I doing it? I could take all the money, sell the farm, and go somewhere else where I would be warmly received instead of all of this stuff from people who are just jealous and ignorant. So I know many of you go through that same thing. Don't give up. There's another entity in the world of farming in America that's gaining a lot of traction. Off and on, I have introduced you to a focus on urban agriculture. There's much more of it now. Last year, it was amazing how much was done in some of our major cities, New York, Washington, here in Boston, Chicago. All the big cities have found a way to practice cultivating and processing and distributing food in the city. And this is very interesting. You talk about government, and I want to distinguish urban agriculture from regular agriculture. Most people associate it, we grow things in rural areas, right? Urban agriculture is something that does produce, we know about community gardens and that stuff, using vacant land, an acre here and an acre there, that's cultivated by a lot of people in urban neighborhoods. They have their plots and the school gardens and that sort of thing. There are a lot of schools around here, as a matter of fact, that have, and there's a Catholic church that has a town garden, and that's cool. But then there are those who are putting flowers and produce on their rooftops and becoming very successful. These backyard gardens, even windowsill gardens, rooftop gardens, vegetables, herbs, flowers, people growing small plots, but they're selling what they have. And if you go back to the history, and I'm not talking about recent history, I'm talking about almost prehistoric history, the rural association with farming has been something that I mentioned earlier. My community, Framingham, was originally called Danforth Farms, and it was the first active farm in Massachusetts as it was being settled. I'm talking about commercial farm. There were people growing things down in Plymouth and along the coastline, but they were giving them, trading them. This was commercial farming. And now it's changed so much, 180 degrees different. And by the way, this isn't just, we're so late to the party. In Denmark and all over Europe, as a matter of fact, especially Scandinavia, in the big cities there, they are growing all kinds of agricultural products. In Mexico, it's done. Many of the big cities in Central America are doing it because they've learned from the Aztecs and the Mayans. They didn't have big fields, big plots. They had their agriculture rooted in their community, in their towns, on their buildings. And so this goes way, way back to that era. I think it's kind of nice that we're borrowing from it. There have been a lot of studies done by people in our country, people in Europe, who are trying to figure out what the best, most productive way of using the land on these buildings. Some people think it's hydroponic or aquaponic. I'm not sure I agree with that. I think if the soil is well cared for, well maintained, well supplemented, then you're almost better off, in my opinion, using the dirt, if you will, because that's where the real essence. So you can't get enough stuff in the water to make it really the same as what you grow in the dirt. So get some dirt up on top of the roof of your apartment and start growing and selling. All right, little advice from Doug Stefanon.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.